we're back at it. Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. It's been a while. We last talked to you in the aftermath of a shambolic bedlam by Mike Gundy and company. But we have great news to report. Joining me right now is Kyle Porter, editor of Pistols Firing Blog. Kyle, you had a baby boy, man. Congratulations.
We did. Thank you. I appreciate that. I know a lot of people were thinking about it and praying about it and everything. And Jonathan Jack, he was born right about this time last week. He's going by Jack, but I got to tell you, all of my sports playing friends, I was talking to Nolan Cox about this. All my sports playing friends just immediately started calling him JJ. I guess it's like I don't know. You just go by nicknames if you played sports. So call him whatever you want. We're just glad he's healthy and everybody is doing well. It's a little bit like, I feel a little bit like Washington right now, in that, you know, you get in the playoff, you're super excited. We had our baby. I'm super excited. Then you turn around and you're like, oh, we got Alabama. What are we going to do?
That's what I'm not going to sleep for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. That's what having three kids feels like right now. But now we're fired up. It was a sweet week. It was very, very joyful, especially in light of everything last year. So yeah, it was really fun. And our other kids have really been enjoying him, maybe a little bit too much so far.
So Jonathan Jack, but you're calling him Jack.
Correct.
You're one of those parents that you're going to go by the middle name. Explain this to me. I've always wondered this. Now you get to explain it to me.
Yeah, it's a good question. So we always wanted to have a boy named Jack. So we just like the name. And then sort of the meaning behind Jonathan. Jonathan means a gift of God. And that was sort of like the, we felt like sort of a theme for this pregnancy, this time having a kid. And so we wanted the name to have meaning. But we liked calling him Jack better. We would have gone Jack Jonathan. We just felt like Jonathan Jack flowed a little bit better.
I hear you. And you did open Pandora's box with the JJ. If you go with two J's, like,
it's over.
That door is wide open. And JJ Porter's does sound like a shooting guard for, like, you know, Duke. I mean, maybe that's too JJ Redick. Maybe a shooting guard for, like, Syracuse, maybe.
I'm fine with that. I'm actually one of those people. I don't hate Duke. I know a lot of people do, but have you seen the new white guy that Duke has, by the way?
Grayson Allen?
No, not Grayson Allen. They've got a freshman from Ohio who is the most Duke-looking human being in the history of college basketball. It's great.
Can't be more Duke-looking than Christian Laettner.
this guy's he's giving a run for his money. But yeah, no, we're back at it. I took the week off, took the rest of the week off. Everybody helped out a lot with the blog, Kyle and Kyle, all the Kyles.
I thought you should have gone Kyle Porter Jr. That way you could sign your name on Twitter, Kyle Porter Senior, like the NFL players. They put senior on the back of their jersey.
Yeah, they put
now.
That's my favorite thing. And by favorite,
it could
I
have
mean,
been at Kyle Porter CBS Senior as your Twitter handle.
That is the silliest thing ever. Why do you need to put senior on the back of your jersey?
Yeah, you decided like last week you had a kid, like to name him after yourself. That's great. Now you have to put senior on your jersey. Like, we're going to confuse your baby boy with you in your 10th year in the league. Like, I hate that. I hate it so much. I don't know why, but I do. But,
well, I do have to tell you one quick story. So we're in the we are in the delivery room. And our doctor, who is amazing, really great guy, he walks up to me and he's like, okay, we're about to do this. He's like, can you give me a second? I got to go watch a YouTube video. So I, you know, remember how to do it. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's very funny. I was like, how many people have you used that on? He goes, pretty much everybody.
That's his go-to kind of break the ice one-liner.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good stuff. Well, yeah, it was a year. Was it a year to the day or was it a year to the week that you guys lost Kate?
She died on the 14th of last year, and he was born on the 6th of this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so almost a year.
Pretty appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Gift of God. It was sweet. It was a great day.
I'm thrilled for you guys, and I'm sure you'll have many sleepless nights moving forward, but yes. I'm very, very happy for you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Do you want to get to, speaking of boys, Mike Gundy and his boys, they convened around the kitchen table, and apparently his boys grilled him on some bedlam decisions. Do you want to before we get into your five thoughts on Gundy's flirtation with Baylor, did you read that? Mike Gundy said the boys were grilling him.
I saw it, but I have not. I haven't read anything really. I've been just sitting in my hospital room, just pondering the what Waco, Texas has to offer over Stillwater. But no, I have not read this. Let's talk about it.
Well, Garen Emig wrote about it, and he was the one asking all the questions at Mike Gundy's availability that he had at his office. Mm-hmm. And he was just going down every decision that you and I had talked about last podcast, and Gundy was giving his reasons. And he's like, yeah. And Gundy was like, yeah, people have talked about, rather, my boys asked me about it, about his decision to not go for a touchdown on like the first, when they kicked the first field goal of the game.
Yeah.
He's like, well, my boys were, so you know the Gunner and Gavin and Gandalf, what's the third one? What is it? Gunner, Gavin, and it's not Gandalf.
Gage.
Yes, you know those three were grilling him about why he was so conservative in Bedlam.
Well, what did he say? I mean, what was his? I did see his reasoning for not going for it at the end of the half was as absurd as we thought it would be. Like, we thought 31 could strip it and take it the other way. I don't even know. I mean, it sounds like he just like made up a number and like used a football term. It was like a Mad Lib for like what could have happened.
Well, it was the perfect reasoning that we had talked about, like how I brought up the Brian Keating notion that he sees Bedlam ghosts.
Yeah.
That's basically what he admitted to, is that he was afraid that 31, a.k.a. Obo, their linebacker, who did have a good game. He had a couple sacks, had made a bunch of tackles. His theory that he was going to strip Mason Rudolph on a Hail Mary, and that just disaster was about to strike. So he went into halftime. That was
just so
that was his theory, and it doesn't even make sense, because in that same answer he gives, he says, "Well, OU was dropping eight." Well, if they're dropping eight, that leaves three defensive linemen. So Oboe's not on the field. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Now maybe they could have put Oboe as a down lineman, but that's not necessarily something they do. So like his reason that a linebacker could blitz and hit Mason if they're dropping eight doesn't hold any water. It's just talking in circles, and there's no justification. So it was kind of funny to read his explanations again.
Well, he's talking as if he you or I had been thrown into the quarterback position and not someone who was on his 27th game of his career, you know, like Mason Rudolph doesn't know how to throw the ball. I mean, we don't need to dig back into that. I have listened to your impression of Mike Gundy and Mike Yurcich about 25 times now. It's
Junior. No,
I hope that people. Junior. I hope people fully appreciated the spontaneity of it and how we did not discuss that at all beforehand. And yeah, it was great. I still laugh every time. So well done.
Yeah, I just wanted to. I started it with just an impression of like I can't wait to take a knee on the 20. And I was like, well, what else happened in that just fiasco of the last minute and a half? So that just kind of – that was all off the top of my head, and I'm glad you enjoyed it so much. And I guess Kyle Boone did a Vine of his availability for Mike Gundy, and he was going down the list of, like, Colorado's roster, and he says, Junior, 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 Junior. It almost sounded like word for word of my impression. It was fantastic. But yeah, since that Bedlam debacle, Kyle, you were out of the PFB loop. You were busy having a boy. Baylor comes a knocking, and you wrote an article today that's on Pistols Firing blog just about your five thoughts on Mike Gundy's flirtations with Baylor. And I kind of want to go down the whole list if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do it. I want to hear yours, because I've been obviously in and out, and we've kind of talked a little bit about it, but I think you and I are both fascinated by coaching searches and positions and everything generally. So I'm very curious to hear what you think as well.
Well, do you want to go down every list, or you want just my initial thoughts?
He's not on any list. Well, no, let's go down the five things. And
I can kind of interject my opinions as we go. Okay. Number one, you have Gundy's self-awareness, not high.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, and the thing that I thought of here is like, don't go. Like, it's one thing if you go out and beat OU by 40, and you can go talk to whoever you want, and you can go, you know, you just want a Big 12. You can do whatever you want, and you can still do whatever you want if you're Gundy, but it just doesn't make you look very good, and people are. even more annoyed with you than they already are because of the way you coach Bedlam. So I just feel like it's not a very self-aware thing to do. And I don't know if you share this opinion, but it's pretty clear to me that Mike Gundy wanted this news out there based on who reported it first, which was Robert Allen and Pat Jones. I mean, those are, like you said, this no two closer people to Gundy than those two. And so it just, I don't know what he was aiming for. I don't know why he was doing this. And it just, I just felt like it did not make him look as good. And maybe he doesn't care about that, but it just didn't make him look very good.
Yeah, I agree. And I totally disagree with the people that are now saying, like, I say people, you know, OSU fans that say, well, this is what happens when you have success. And Mike Gundy's said that. Like, this is what happens. What Baylor doesn't even, like, pick up the phone to think to call Mike Gundy unless Mike Gundy calls them, unless his agent or his handler or himself says, come after me, come and get me. And so that notion is silly. And I totally agree with the two people that were reporting it. This is kind of where I'm torn, Kyle. Like, how real was this? Because Football Scoop, who I think does a tremendous job, this is like their job, is coaching searches.
Mm-hmm.
They come out almost immediately after the Robert Allen tweet, the Pat Jones stuff, and say, like, this is like coaching search legend. It is absolute fiction. Like, Mike Gundy is not a candidate at Baylor. But then at the same time, you have Mike Gundy's people saying that it is. And the way Robert worded it on his tweet, I thought was fascinating.
Yeah.
He said, like, well, gucks, I guess these aren't rumors. I guess they're meeting, almost like a warning to, like, OSU, like, you better do something.
Right.
Is kind of the tone I gathered from it. Any tone I can gather from a 140 character tweet or whatever.
Right. But
so like, that's the problem I have is, like, Mike Gundy, you're coming off one of the most embarrassing coaching performances. Like, his coach performance wasn't just like you and I talking about it. Like, the entire state was like, what was Mike Gundy doing?
Yeah.
So you come off that in a Big 12 championship game, and his relationship with Mike Kohler and Boone Pickens must be worse than we ever imagined.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the reason Mike did all this, it goes all the way back to when Boone comes out on the first game of the season and says he's not competitive against OU. And so Mike's like, well, hell, I'm going to show him. I'm going to, you know, as soon as this season's over, I'm calling all the jobs that are open. Because, like, the Oregon stuff comes out too. Like, and no one reputable ever even said that was a thing, other than I think Pat Jones was the one saying him and Oregon were even talking.
Right.
So just this whole cloud of Gundy flirting with other jobs is coming just straight from him. Like, it's not even like it's a real thing. So I have a big problem with that. Not just, like, coming off of the Bedlam performance, like, throw that out of it. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're a made man at OSU. You're at your alma mater. Like, what's the big deal? Like, just let Boone's comments, like, roll off your back. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with it.
Well, and it's really interesting. And this is where I'm glad to be in the position that I'm in. It's very interesting to see which media people are reporting different things. And it's hard because you don't want to be in that position, and you might be getting played by somebody. You know, you might be getting played by Mike Gundy. You might be getting played by Baylor. You might, you know, you don't, it's difficult to, if you are a innocent bystander, to know who's playing you. And that stuff does happen. And it, you know, it was interesting to see the people who were reporting on the Baylor side that said, yeah, this is a real thing. And then Jason King of Bleacher Report said Gundy never really told Baylor no. I have no idea what that means. That seems like an absurd notion that Baylor would apparently present this offer to Gundy, but then not hear yes or no and go hire Temple's coach. Like, that, the logic there is just out of this world. So I don't know. The whole thing, I mean, I think kind of undergirding this whole thing is, this is part of what makes college football really fun, you know, like,
yeah,
just to talk about the different scenarios, the what ifs and everything that goes on there.
Well, and I do want to say this. I heard the $6 million figure before Pat Jones went on the radio with it, before Traber went on the radio with it. But I couldn't confirm it from anywhere else. And it was from a reputable person. But it speaks to what you said in that I could be getting played. I needed to confirm that with someone other than the person I did, even though that person's reputable. You got to get more than one person to say it. And yeah. more than one person on one side of the fence, too. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem I had with, like, no one from Baylor was saying that they were even offering Mike Gundy a job. That was the curious part. The most curious part of that to me was, like, was this just a figment of something coming out of Stillwater? Or was Baylor actually in – did Baylor officials actually go to Stillwater and talk to Mike Gundy? So it's like you said, it's a fun thing to talk about. But I wasn't able to confirm it, so that's why I didn't report it.
Well, I wasn't able to make
– I don't even know if it's real or not. That's just – you know. But I did hear that before it was out there, you know, all over the radio.
Yeah. I had a – I also had someone – a source in the Baylor athletic department that, how should I say this? Essentially said that Gundy reached out to them. And so I don't know if and I guess what I'm saying there is the whole thing could have just been, like you said, fabricated by, like, I don't know if they reciprocated that. I don't know if it died there. Like, it could have just been like Gundy said, oh, I called Baylor, and then all of a sudden $60 million is on, you know, like, I don't know. But I guess my question there is what is Gundy trying to gain? Does he want more money? Does he want a longer contract? I mean, did you ever get the sense that he was actually trying to gain something out of this other than to kind of get back at Oklahoma State administration and Boone Pickens?
Well, I think it's both. I think, one, he wants to stick it to Boone and Holder. That's just me speculating. But I think also, too, like, Mike Gundy is underpaid. What is he, 22nd in the country?
Mm-hmm.
He's, what, fourth or fifth in the conference? He has the second best program in the conference right now. So as much as I don't like the fact he's flirting with Baylor after just a complete debacle in Bedlam, he probably is underpaid when you look at the structure of the Big 12.
But isn't there a better
way? So maybe he's trying to get a raise. But at the same time, why hasn't he signed a contract extension that's supposedly sitting on his desk? Mark Cooper reported that he hasn't signed the extension he's been offered.
Right.
So none of it – maybe he doesn't like that extension, thinks he's worth more. So maybe that's why he's doing this.
It's garbage.
I don't know. Maybe that's the only reason I can come up with, can't you?
Yeah, he is underpaid. I mean, I think pretty much all college football coaches are underpaid, maybe not Harbaugh. But for the amount of money that they bring in, especially the successful ones. But I guess my point there is, like, just go ask for a raise. Like, just have a good relationship with your boss and ask him for more money and don't, it was just a bad look, and we can move on to 2 through 5, but I just feel like it was not the best display of self-awareness from Mike Gundy.
Well, had his approval rating ever been lower, Mike Gundy's? That's probably the lowest his approval rating amongst just like the fan base.
Yeah.
That has been since, gosh, 2006, 2007, maybe.
Maybe the Houston game in 2009. Although Oklahoma State had just beat Georgia, so.
Right. So, like, man, was he tempting fate a little there? Like, if Mike Holder was ever going to just fire Mike Gundy for being insubordinate,
like, well, and
the court of public opinion would have been at its absolute kindest to Mike Holder at that moment.
But that leads to number two, is that, and I kind of did some research into his contract. He's owed... over the course of and again, it just depends on whether he signed the extension. If he has not signed the extension, he is owed, I think, $12 million over the next 3 years, something like that. And if he's fired, like if Mike Holder just wakes up tomorrow and says, I'm out, this is stupid, I'm tired of this guy, and just fires him without cause, so something that, you know, just basically because he wants to, he's owed 75% of his contract, which is right now about $7 million. It's a lot of money to pay somebody who's been easily the most successful coach in Oklahoma State history to just go away. It's one thing to pay that to Travis Ford, which Oklahoma State just did. I mean, they negotiated it down, but it's another thing to pay Mike Gundy that money to go away. And I think Gundy knows that. I think he knows he can get away with this stuff, which I don't know. I don't know if that makes me more or less annoyed with it, but I think that he understands the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I think that's a big reason why he feels he can do all this without repercussion, is he's got the buyout life sitting right there if they choose to get rid of him. But but like, this isn't anything new. Like, I know this is what college football coaches do, like, to get raises. That's true. But you can only cry wolf so many times with Mike Holder. Like, how many times is this now? He had the Tennessee flirtation, the Arkansas flirtation. Before that, in 2011, you and I were talking back when, you know, he was on a plane to go into College Station to talk to A&M. during those contentious contract negotiations that he had in 2011. So, like, at a certain point, you can only play this card so many times, can't you? Like, I think I think even this instance, he may have gone to Mike Holder and said, "Hey, Baylor's offering me this." Mike Holder probably said, "Shove it." Say, "Take it, or I'll go hire somebody else." Like, don't you think that's probably the reaction Mike Holder gave him after all these times he's flirted with other jobs?
You mean just in terms of, like, this isn't going to work anymore, basically?
No. In terms of, you have a contract, there's an extension sitting on your desk, sign that one or get the hell out.
Yeah. I just mean that the leverage play isn't going to work on me anymore. If you're
right.
If
exactly. You're Mike, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
As much as I think Mike Gundy is underpaid somewhat, I don't think it's drastic. I don't think it's absurd that what he gets paid a really good salary. So it's not like Mike Holder's in the wrong by not giving him a raise.
Well, and I think the sort of underlying thing here is that I think that Mike Holder, I think he's thought a lot about. I think Mike Holder's last huge move as athletic director at Oklahoma State, whenever that may be, is going to be the transition from Gundy to the future. He came in with Gundy, and I think Holder wants to kind of leave his fingerprint on the program. And what better way to do that than to hand off the program from Gundy to whoever Gundy's successor will be, whenever that will be. And so I think that over the past few years, he's probably been forced to think, like, you know, what does that future look like? And I guess what I'm getting at there is I think that he's probably gone through the thought process of, you know, maybe somebody else can do this just as well as Gundy. I don't know if I agree with that, but I think that Holder probably thinks it.
Oh, I think he has his list ready to go after after this week. I mean, I don't think Mike Gundy was ever leaving, but I do think Mike Holder's a smart man, and all athletic directors keep a list of potential coaches if their coach were to leave. So yeah. I don't think you're wrong in that.
Does Baylor think that it's a better job than it actually is?
I think their list started with Saban, Meyer. That was their 1-2. I think then they worked their way down to Fedora, to Gundy, Belichick, and the likes. Yeah, Belichick. Like, that was the funny thing to me. Like, you showed some tweets from Jason King talking about Fedora and Gundy, but, like, Football Scoop, you know who their list included? Blake Anderson and Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
Those are the names that Football Scoop said they were talking to. That, to me, sounds way more realistic, because I do think Baylor is a top 25 job when it doesn't have the situation it has now. You're so close to so many recruits. That's how Art Briles got it rolling, is you're right there. All the major cities are within driving distance. It's a really good job, but not right now. It's a 3-year rebuild job at least, without two recruiting classes. And it's not to mention just all of the sanctions that could come down from the NCAA, just the stigma that's down there. Like, that was even probably the most ridiculous part of the Gundy thing. It's like, okay, you're going to leave Oklahoma State to go down to Baylor right now with what they're dealing with? Like, stop it.
Yeah. It would have been weird if, like, Baylor was suddenly paying, like the coaching pay structure in college football went, like, Michigan 1, Alabama 2, Baylor 3, like, paying $6 million a year for a coach. That would have been... I don't know.
Are they going to name the stadium Gundy Stadium while they're at it? Like,
yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is, and I'm with you. Like, it was weird because every time I thought about it logically, like, is this a thing that Mike Gundy would do? Go take over a program that's not in shambles, but definitely in a little bit of a downward spiral. No, this is, you couldn't pay him enough money to go do this. Like, he values, his downtime, his hunting with his boys, you know, the golden era of Oklahoma State football. He does not, like, this is not, he's not, and I wrote this, he's not 37 anymore. He's not 34. He's not 40 even. He's almost 50. And I think that he just kind of wants to, and he's talked a lot about how he doesn't want to coach forever. It made absolutely no sense. And the only logic that anybody supporting the idea of Gundy going to Baylor was falling back on is it's a ton of money. Like, that's it. Like, that's the only thing you could point to and say this might be why he does that, if that was even an offer. We're still talking about something that might have been a hypothetical.
Well, yeah, and I thought you wrote very well. Just he has one problem right now at OSU. Beat OU. That's your only problem. But if you go to Baylor, you inherit about 1,000 problems, and you have to sit there in front of a microphone and explain why there won't be any more harassment, you know, on campus. Like that was a really good point by you. And you're right. Like Mike's always said, he's not going to coach forever. He's not going to coach until he's, you know, Bobby Bowden's age. Like he only has probably what, 10 years left.
Yeah.
He's going to spend 4 or 5 of that cleaning up the mess at Baylor. Just none of it made any sense.
No, I agree.
Like he should have like if Mike really wanted to stick it to Holder and them and get a raise and just create a firestorm, like how'd the LSU thing not get off the ground?
Yeah.
Like that would have been way more believable. They've already hired an OSU coach.
Yeah.
Like I know they moved pretty quickly with Tom Herman and all that, so maybe he didn't have time to get his foot in the door. But they hired Ed Orgeron. Like Mike Gundy's such a better coach than Ed Orgeron, it's not even funny. So like I think he missed the boat on the LSU stuff. But yeah, Baylor overinflated view of themselves just considering what all's going on down there. They weren't getting a top notch coach, no matter how much they paid.
Yeah. Do we have any other thoughts on this, or do we want to get to our toast of the week?
We can get to the toast.
Okay.
Didn't you have one more point?
OSU might not be a stepping stone anymore.
Okay, yeah, I did want to talk about this.
Okay.
You say it's not.
Well, okay, so yeah, I'm saying that it's not. I think that Oklahoma State, and I've argued the other side of this multiple times, but I think that Oklahoma State is a place, I mean, like you said, it's the second best job in the Big 12 right now. You're going to make a ton of money there. It pays like a big time job. It doesn't pay like an Alabama or a Michigan. Like I do think that there are, obviously it's not a first tier job. That's not what I'm saying. I think what I'm saying is I think coaches nowadays are more okay with second or third tier jobs because you can win conference titles. I mean, look at Baylor. They've won two conference titles. Oklahoma State's won. Kansas State has won in the Big 12. And also because you can get paid and they're, I think one of the arguments here is that there are more good coaches right now than there ever have been before. And the reason for that is because there's so much money involved in college football. I mean, you follow the money, right? Like if you look at the past 10 to 20 years of college football, it's only skyrocketed. And because of that, the basic economics tells me that there's going to be more and better competition for head coaching jobs. And so I think because of that, you see fewer guys, like even back in 2003 or 2004, Les Miles jumping from an Oklahoma State to an LSU. I think that probably still happens. I just don't think it's as clear cut now with Oklahoma State having better facilities, than they did before.
Right. I agree with that. Like the new job is years different than when Les left. It really is. But I hate the argument fans make that they think that look at our facilities, man. Look at our weight room. Look at our stadium. We'll keep it rolling. I mean, we can get anybody in and keep this machine rolling. Nope, you can't stop it. Look at Oregon. Oregon has the best facilities in the country.
Yeah.
They just went 4-7. Look at Texas. They haven't been good in a decade. Like it is not a guarantee that you get another coach and you keep it rolling. In fact, I would say you don't. Like, and you mentioned OSU is the second best job in the conference. That's because of Mike Gundy. If he leaves, you roll a couple, you know, 6-6 seasons. Where's it at? And we've always talked about Stillwater. It's hard to get players to Stillwater. It just is.
Yeah.
And so, like, this notion that OSU's facilities will just keep them nationally relevant, keep them, you know, 9-10 win seasons churning, that's true. That's not true at all. So that's why, true. That's why, like, as frustrated as you can be with Mike Gundy, the guy's done an incredible job, and he's worth what they pay him. And he might even be worth a raise because he's done an amazing job. Now, does he need to stop coaching like a fraidy cat? Like a scared little child? Like that 31's going to strip the ball and just – he's going to magically float his way into the end zone? Like, and Mason's going to slip on a banana peel? Stop coaching like that. Like, that's his only issue. Like, everything else is – brand. So, but I do hate the argument that, well, we've got facilities, we're going to win. Look at A&M. They have just as good of facilities. Like they're not winning anything.
A fraidy cat.
I was trying not to say something else, and that's what came out.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, you basically made the argument that Brian Curtis of The Ringer make, that there's not great programs, there's great coaches. And I think what I'm saying is that there's more, and this is an argument that Gundy likes to make on the other side of it, but there's more parity among coaching jobs now than there ever has been. It's kind of the parallel that I made is college basketball. You can be at a mid-major like Greg Marshall, make $3 million a year, and go to a Final Four. Like, it's not, I don't know. I think in that sense, it's different than it used to be within college sports. And now, you know, it's not the 70s where Oklahoma and Nebraska win every conference championship. You can get paid in Stillwater. And I think it's so difficult to get a program really rolling that you have to be sure that you really want to leave to go take on a Tennessee or a Florida that's struggling or somewhere like that. Cause it's just, I mean, and I made this argument too, but the familiarity of success, it should outweigh even a little bit more money that you can make elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think Charlie Strong would be pretty happy if he's still at Louisville?
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to be a great fit at South Florida, but like, you're right. There's something to be said for, like, success and job security, all that. But I mean, the fact coaches are always going to be looking, you know, for a bigger payday, a bigger, you know, bigger opportunity. So I think that won't go away, but you're right. The parity is much better.
Yeah.
I'm ready to toast.
Okay. Let's toast. Let's get to this week's Coop Ale Works toast of the week. Coop Ale Works bring great tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian strong ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. Had one of those last night. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works, and please remember to drink responsibly. It was a bye week. It was, well, the season's over. Who are you toasting after the off week?
I've got a toast. I've got an ice cold Horny Toad Blonde, and this one goes out to a beloved, and I do mean beloved, former Oklahoma State coach. Many would like to see this guy succeed, Mike Gundy. I'm going to toast one Todd Monken for his incredible tweet with a great meme usage. He said, on the Mike Gundy rumors to Baylor, he just posted a meme saying, stop smoking crack. He posted a meme on Twitter about Mike Gundy potentially going to Baylor. Stop smoking crack. He says, chances of Mike Gundy going to Baylor, false. Stop smoking crack. That's the exact word for it. Like, we've missed Todd Monken so much in the media. I used to sprint in his direction when I would see him post games. I miss him dearly. Nothing against Mike Yurcich, but I miss Todd Monken quite a bit. I know OSU fans do. He was the voice of reason in the Mike Gundy Baylor saga. So I would toast. I think a Horny Toad Blonde pairs well with that Tampa weather he's experiencing down there with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great toast. I forgot about him dive bombing in. I'm in the delivery room trying to read Todd Monken tweets, you know, see my new baby. Like, it was a disaster. I got to give credit to you here, but I'm going to toast Mrs. Pistols. She was amazing once again. She took all three kids out today. They had a Bible study. She's just like, yeah, I'm going to get out. Let's go. Let's do this. I'm like,
wow.
I can't even like get out of bed in the morning and you're, you know, taking three kids around. So, she's actually been able to enjoy a few Coop Ale Works now that she's not pregnant anymore. So,
yeah.
She likes the beer. I'm going to toast an F5 IPA to her.
Good for her. She finally gets to crack one open because
yeah.
9 months is a long time to go without some well, refreshing Coop.
Yes. Yes, it is. You wanted to talk uniforms also, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Are we going to do the uni review right now, or are we going to talk about Gundy?
Well, let's do both. Let's get to this week's uniform review brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Let's talk about Gundy first, because we forgot to talk about it last week, but his bedlam attire was, what word would you use to describe it?
I would call it the NASCAR pit crew. the tucked in like winter coat and the wind pants almost made it look like a onesie. But I did tell you, I was willing to bet you money that he was going to wear a ball cap.
Yeah, it was a great call. It was a great call.
And he did. And Stoops, man, when it rains, they both ditch the visors wisely. We didn't get any icicles on the mullet, which I was kind of hoping for. But no, it was an interesting look, Kyle. I didn't hate it. It was just he looked like kind of like the Michelin man a little bit. Like I'm not sure how to phrase it, but it was an interesting look nonetheless. I kind of wish he would just go full Cabela's and just wear like the tan Carhartt jacket.
Yeah.
The tan pants and just like, get rid of the school gear. Like the just go full Cabela's.
The camo pants with the OSU
logo. Just wear his hunting gear because clearly he wanted to just go hunting right after the game because he just wanted to get out of there.
Well, I thought
your hunting attire to the game, then wear it out hunting.
I thought we might get one of those. Have you ever seen those hats that have like the cape on the back where it like people,
yes.
People who have they have fair skin, so they need, and it's a legitimate thing that they have fair skin, so they have to protect their neck. I thought we might get one of those with like the OSU logo emblazoned on the back to protect his to keep his mullet dry during
battle. Gotta protect the goods. But it was an interesting look. He walked into post game without shoes on, which I thought was interesting too. I think his feet got a little wet. So like I was hearing him explain, you know, the football not rotating well while staring at his feet without shoes on, and socks on. That's it. It was an interesting look. But in that weather, it was pretty nasty. I was there, so you're not going for style when the weather is like that. I didn't. I was wearing my ski pants. Yeah. I had like four jackets on. Yeah. I don't do the cold, so
no.
I can't hate on it too much.
Yeah, understandable. Did you want to talk about a uniform of the year, or are we talking bowl game uniform?
Let's talk bowl game uniform. OSU's the road team, correct?
I believe so. Yes. It's going to be a really good uniform matchup, by the way.
Well, I'm glad that Colorado's home, so they don't wear those monstrosities they wore in the Pac-12 title game.
I like
Colorado
that.
Should never go Stormtrooper.
Yeah, I mean,
they have one of the most iconic helmets and looks in college football.
Yeah, they should go. Their like go-to road look should be white on white with the gold helmet. I mean, that's just that's awesome.
Gold pants.
Oh, you think gold pants?
Gold pants, white jersey. Or I even like when they wear the gold helmet, the white jersey, and the black pants.
Yes.
That, to me, was sensational.
Yes.
Like any of those over the all white. They don't wear all white. Like, let Texas do that. Let OSU do that. Like,
did you see what helmet Oklahoma State took to the for the Alamo Bowl preview press conference?
The barbed wire.
Yes. Is this like our new like go-to helmet? Like, what's happening here? What's going on?
I think they're proud of it. They want to show it off. It was a photo op.
I mean, it's fine, but let's not get carried away with it.
It's a good change up, but not like the helmet.
Yeah, like
you don't want it on your like pickets and like the media guides.
Well, they've done such a great job with the like the throwback stuff for homecoming. But part of the reason it works, and this is my argument and Kyle Boone's argument with the turquoise basketball uniforms that you and Mrs. Pistol just loathe. Did I tell you that she hates those?
No, but I once again, I agree with your wife.
I had the game on the other day. I was watching. I can't remember who they wore them against, Rogers State or somebody. And she was like, "Who's playing? What is it? What am I watching? I don't even know what's happening." You know, like
did OSU rent out their court to somebody?
She was appalled. She's like, "I thought you covered Oklahoma State. What is this?"
And look, it's like the patriotic military uniforms. Like, if you say anything negative about them, you hate America.
Right.
If like the Native American thing, I love it. Wear a patch. Do whatever you want. OSU should never wear turquoise uniforms.
Well,
sorry.
My point there being, like, do it once a year. Like, if you're gonna do it, do the barbed wire once a year. I don't need that on my television screen. I'm with your dad. I don't need that on my TV screen every week.
Give me the brand. Give me the brand.
What would your dad have done if Gundy had gone to Oregon? Like he would never have been seen again by your dad. He wouldn't know where he was at.
my dad, like, of all the people who didn't believe the Baylor rumors, like, my dad is like number one in line. Like, he he didn't even think like that. He thinks there would be a better chance of Mike Gundy flying to the moon than going to Baylor.
Yeah.
Like that. I admired his like staunchness that Mike Gundy's not going anywhere.
Yeah. My dad was next in line because I think he said something like, there's a better chance of me becoming head coach of Baylor than Mike Gundy becoming head coach of Baylor.
They agree with Todd Monken then.
Yes. Very, very much so. Okay. I want to wrap this up, but let's hear one more time from our sponsor this week, Chris's University Spirit. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, Carson, what else do we need to talk about?
One more kind of uni thing, like this goes along with looks. We had a bullet scare. We thought Mike Gundy was cutting his hair for a second, but he somehow made it better.
Yeah.
It's like Billy Ray Cyrus now.
He did, didn't he? He got like the sides trimmed up maybe.
Oh, he got that baby cleaned up.
Yeah.
And it's looking spectacular.
It's really crazy. Like it I mean, how
like, I think it's permanent. I don't think he's cutting it. Like, get the media guide photo ready. Like, he's going to have a mullet in it.
Like what if he rolls up for the spring game and it's like touching his shoulders?
Oh man, that would be awesome.
Like it's full on like Joe Dirt or whatever the character is.
But don't, if you only throw the ball deep twice, doesn't that counter everything we saw?
Did you see Mason Rudolph?
Kenny Powers would have thrown it deep more than twice.
Yeah. Did you see Mason Rudolph was graded as the fourth best quarterback in the country by Pro Football Focus this year?
I saw you post about it on the bullets.
That was surprising to me. I mean, obviously, I love Mason Rudolph, but fourth best behind Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson, ahead of Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, you're not waffling on Mason, are you?
No.
You're the Mason is elite master.
Yeah, I think he's a top 10 quarterback, but top four? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, those guys probably...
Well, I think he... Are they rating him like how he projects to the NFL or just the season that he had?
No, the season.
Oh. Well, like, what road games was Mason good in? I meant to bring this up last.
Kansas State.
Yes. That's it, right?
Well, they only played.
Can you name another one?
They played at Baylor, at Kansas State, at OU, and at Kansas. I think they only had four road games.
Jeez.
Is that right? No, they had to have one more.
At Baylor, at Kansas, at K-State, at TCU, at Oklahoma.
He was good at TCU.
No, he wasn't.
You don't
first
think?
Half he was off. First half he was terrible. Remember, he was missing all the short throws.
Yeah, he ran it well.
Both game first half, he did run the ball well. He ran the ball well, really all season. So you got to give him credit for that. But I just, Mason on the road thing is a real thing, and I want to know how small his hands are, because I watched. Kyle, I mean this. I was watching NFL Red Zone last week, not this past week, but the week before. And Colin Kaepernick was playing in frozen, snowy Chicago, and he couldn't hang on to the ball. Like, he literally couldn't hang on. They had to bench him because he couldn't hang on to football. And I guess the reports are is Colin Kaepernick has really small hands. Like that's the word from the scouts. That's like people I follow on Twitter say he has small hands. I don't know if that's true or not. That's the report. So, does Mason have small, like, that has to be the reason why? Why else does he fumble so much?
I don't know. I have no idea.
This is going to end with Mason. Like, I'm going to be interviewing him at the bowl games. He's just going to put his hand on my face. Speak, buddy.
Why?
Yeah. Stiff arm in the face.
Well, and somebody brought this up. Why wear a glove or why not wear a glove?
Yeah, I mean, some guys prefer, some don't. I guess.
How about this? Of Mason Rudolph's 15 best games, according to quarterback rating, So every quarterback rating he's had over 150. So that's top 15 games. There's only one in the top 11 on the road, and then four in the top 15 that have come on the road. The other 11 are either home or neutral field.
Yeah. That's a thing.
And the one in the top 11 was at Kansas State. He had a 210 quarterback rating, which was four.
And he also threw a pick six and another pick too. It wasn't,
yeah,
it wasn't flawless in the first half, but he did make all the plays to win the game. I'm not taking that away from him, but yeah, like few and far between, man. That's this game is in a dome though. So that's out of the elements.
Yeah, but Colorado secondary apparently pretty awesome. Bunch of NFL guys. They got a bunch of NFL guys. Junior.
So Mike Gundy's going to run the wing T offense then because he won't want to throw it. Mason's going to be running the option on 3rd and 18.
Well, that was just an ode to Bob Fenimore. You know, this is this 75-year anniversary of his performance in the Sugar Bowl against St. Mary's. So we just wanted to. Or whatever bowl that was, Cotton Bowl. I don't know what that was.
I have two more things for you.
Give it to me. Let's hear it.
This is just so much fun to talk about. Mike Gundy leaves in a hypothetical. Mike Gundy leaves. He goes, he rides his tractor to go hunting and then come back, or he goes to marry Hardin Baylor. who is your top three? Who are you calling to replace Mike Gundy if you're Mike Holder?
Yeah, somebody asked me that the other day. Somebody emailed me. I've gotten a lot of emails, but I probably got more emails in the last week than the entire season.
Mailbag. Do a mailbag.
I know. I need to. You go first because I need to look up what I said because I don't want to go against it. I've got it right here. I said, first three that come to mind. This is just like I had 10 seconds to think about it. Larry Fedora, number one. Justin Fuente.
Because he's done it. Okay, go ahead. Give me the whole.
So Justin Fuente, and you're going to take credit for that. And you should, because I didn't know who he was before you mentioned him.
Now you're all in. I love it.
And then PJ Fleck.
Row the boat.
Row the boat down I-35. To Stillwater.
Okay. Like that list. You want to know my list?
Let's hear it.
Call number one, Justin Fuente. And we'll talk about these guys here in a second. I'll give you the list first. Justin Fuente, one. Larry Fedora, too. And I've gone back and forth on this guy so many times. I don't know what the connection is with Art Briles. Like, he was his offensive coordinator, Philip Montgomery at Tulsa.
Yeah.
Is doing an unbelievable job. But he has somehow avoided the stigma of Art Briles and Baylor, even though he was Art Briles' right-hand man. So I don't know if you... Like, part of me says, can you hire him because he was on the Art Briles tree? But another part of me says, well, Tulsa just signed him to a 5-year extension. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know the extent of all that. But I think he's done an incredible job at Tulsa. He'd be a really good coach. Larry Fedora, I think, in the real Mike Holder, I think that's who he calls first. I think they love him from his time in Stillwater. I had a back and forth with Bill Haston on Twitter, just kind of asking him, like, isn't Fedora their first call? He said 3 years ago, yes. He's not so sure now. I just think that he's won at a Mack Brown level at North Carolina. North Carolina is a hard place to win. Their stadium is not ideal. It's a basketball school. You know, they play Clemson and Florida State. Like, it's a hard job, and he's done a great job there as a head coach. I think it'd be hard to hire anyone better than him. Except for Justin Fuente. I think this guy is a superstar. I mean, he won big at Memphis, which when he took over was a bottom five job in the country. And Memphis is still good because they have his players over there. In his first season at Virginia Tech, he takes him to the ACC title game. And Virginia Tech had been down for so long. Not so long. Like, Frank Beamer had a Bobby Bowden-esque swoon towards the end. They were like 6-6 a lot of years. They were not good for a while. And boom, immediately he has them back in national relevance. I think Justin Fuente would be big time. He played football at Oklahoma. So it would create this doomsday scenario. Let's say he wins big at OSU, dominates, beats OU, wins the Big 12. Bob Stoops retires. Go home. Does he pull like a quasi Kevin Durant where he goes, it'd be like Kevin going back to DC. Does he leave OSU for OU? So, but I think Fuente, Fedora, Montgomery would be my top three.
I've got a lot of thoughts here. First, do you think Stoops or Gundy leaves their respective schools first? Not retires, but just which one outlasts the other one?
I think Bob leaves first. For one, older. Two, you know, his boys are about to be done with high school. They're juniors right now. I think he's been kind of waiting for them to graduate. And I think to a certain extent, Gundy's doing the same in Stillwater. And Bob's kind of like Mike. He said he's not going to coach till like Bill Snyder and coach till he's 80. So I think he might call it quits before Mike.
Also, I think it's pretty interesting that we both look at, I mean, we're talking about two guys, Larry Fedora and Justin Fuente, who have played for the ACC title each of the last 2 years. And it sort of feels like we're looking at the ACC as like a lesser conference than the Big 12, because we're talking about what for them, you might argue against this, but I don't think UNC and Virginia Tech to Oklahoma State, I think that's a lateral move for both of those guys. I think Fuente, I mean, and somebody brought this, it might have been Travis Haney who brought this up. I think OU and him have already locked eyes from, like, you know, 2,000 miles away. Like, I guess my point there is, why would he leave Virginia Tech for Oklahoma State? You know, like, I know I see why he would leave it for OU, because he played there. It's a better program than OSU, but why OSU? You know.
Well, you could argue that Virginia Tech is lateral, or you could even argue it's a better job. You can make that argument. I don't know if it is or not, but you're right. Why would he leave Virginia Tech knowing that one day you probably is going to call? But you can't, I don't think at the same time, I don't think you can look at it that way. You know, a lot of things can change till whenever Bob calls it quits. You got to take the job you think's the best. And that's the point I wanted to make too, is I don't know if Fedora or Fuente leave, but I think Fedora would. I don't know if Fuente would or not.
Well, the thing about Fuente is I know it's easier to get guys like that early, like get them after a year, get them after 2 years before they've kind of become ingrained in the program and really entrenched there. Because after 5 or 6 years of Virginia Tech, is Oklahoma State going to be able to pry him away? Probably not. But you could after one, you know, or after two. That's probably why Holder probably wishes that Oregon had, you know, hired Gundy. Like, fine, give me my $3 million and I'll go hire Justin Fuente. The other question I had is, which do you prefer? Do you prefer a school like Oklahoma State, which we'll call it a top 30 head coaching job, hiring a coordinator from inside the top, we'll say 20, like at a program inside the top 20 in Auburn, Georgia, something like that? Or do you prefer them getting a head coach from outside the top, like 75, you know, like a Western Michigan or something like that?
Yeah, it goes back and forth. I guess it just depends on the guy. I personally like to hire a successful head coach because he's proven he can build a program. I think that's what would really make Mike Gundy appealing to athletic directors, is look what he's done at OSU. But at the same time, you know, Bob Stoops had never been a head coach before he was hired, and he's been one of the best ever. Now, I know Stoops is few and far between, but you can hire a coordinator and they can turn into the real deal too. So it kind of just depends. I prefer hiring a head coach though, just because it's a totally different job than being a coordinator.
Yeah, I agree. I get nervous with the Kirby Smarts of the world. You're just like, I mean, like even Dana, you're like, I guess, I don't know, maybe.
Like, yeah, and I don't like hiring like the coordinators that were just like coaches at a good school. Like how many Saban coordinators have worked out? Like hardly any. I think Jimbo Fisher is the only one. And he was with Saban at LSU. The rest, like Muschamp, like Smart hasn't really done a good job. So his first year, I mean, I'm not going to judge him, but just for the most part, most of them haven't really, you know, lit the world on fire.
Yeah. Okay. What was your last question?
Like, if you're going to hire Nick Saban, like that's, they're trying to hire Nick Saban and they're, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
My last question was, Jake Trotter put out a tweet today saying that the Big 12 is going to announce the schedule and to expect major shakeups. I think we all agree that they're probably going to move Bedlam. How do you feel about that?
I think you can only help Oklahoma State, which I'm excited about. I just think that – I think it is in Gundy's head a little bit now. Obviously, we've talked about that, but I think it'll help them to have it at the beginning of October, or excuse me, the beginning of November, end of October, wherever it's at, because I think when it's in the middle of the season, it becomes just another game, and it doesn't get built up as this end all be all thing that Gundy freaks out about for 2 weeks and whatever. So I'm excited about that.
He didn't have a bye week to stew about Bellum and
to get his
watch the 88 game on a DVD
to get his neck cover ready for for his hat.
No, I think that's a positive. The fact neither team up is another positive. I think we'll have less injuries that earlier in the season. We've seen OU Tech. It's still a big game, even though it's played in October. So I don't think that's going to hurt. I will miss the last game of the year. Just like the whole season kind of builds to it. I think that I'll miss that. And that's like all we've ever known. I know they've played on Thanksgiving before December, but I kind of liked it having it championship weekend / rivalry week. You know, I love that it's at the end of the year, and just I'll miss that just for nostalgia reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's going to be super interesting because you're going to have probably a scenario in which, like, the last week is Oklahoma State, Kansas, and OU, Iowa State, and TCU, I don't know, Tech, or I don't know, somebody. And it's just the Big 12, the poor Big 12, they just try so hard and they can't get out of their own way. It's like the kid in high school who's like not very good at sports, but he cared the most and like wanted to be really good so bad, but it just never got there. Like, that's how I feel about the Big 12. Like, they try so hard and they can't do it, and they don't understand why.
He had a great pair of Jordans,
yeah,
but couldn't play at all.
Yeah.
Just tried so hard. Yeah, they come up with a championship game literally year the playoff. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I
mean, Ohio State beat OU. Who cares about the championship game?
Yeah, exactly.
Just the Big 12, you're right. They can't get their own. So I will miss having Bedlam the last game here. But Mike Gundy will have a whole year to stew on Bedlam since he's still the coach at Oklahoma State. So.
All right, Carson.
I'm glad Gundy's still the coach. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, me too. Okay, back at it this week. It was a lot of fun, and we will talk to you. We need to start talking some basketball later on.
Under, getting it done.
Yeah, he is. It's been great.
We'll talk more on the wood for sure.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.